Today we continue looking at the book of Ephesians, and we are going today talk about being like little kids. Yeah. And this is the time of year to be like little kids, right? You guys are like little kids on Thursday, weren't you, when you ate? Did you eat extra dessert? No, yeah, right? Did you eat extra dessert is the real question. We love this time of year, right? I love this. This time that we get to celebrate the arrival of Christ as we move into that. We celebrate his coming as a little kid. And today we want to unpack some things of how in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to us to be like little kids in some ways, and in some ways not to be. As a reminder, last week we talked in Ephesians chapter 4, he ended it with this. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Paul concludes his discussions about being in Christ in chapter 4, basically telling the adults of Ephesus and us, I believe, to grow up, not be spoiled little brats, right? That's what he's describing. You have malice, you don't forgive, you're brawling, you're fighting. What? You watch two little kids and you only have like one of a thing, right? What happens? They share equally, right? Okay, you get the next 10 minutes. No, they fight, don't they? It's mine. And then the thing breaks. Ah! And he's describing the people in Ephesus as basically being like that. But if you look into chapter 5, he says, if you're going to act like kids, at least act like good ones. Chapter 5, verse 1, we begin our passage. He says, if you're going to follow God's example, therefore do so as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of life. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. They are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of these you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. If it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, and raise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, I believe, lays out two things that we need to address in this passage. The very first of these is to resist the dark. Resist the dark. In Ephesians 5:7, it says, therefore, do not put Do not be partners with them, speaking of those who were immoral. For you were once darkness. You were once darkness. There's a little movie coming out in a couple weeks. Some of you already know this, right? I know, December 15th. Raise your hand, you already got your tickets. It's okay. I don't, actually, surprisingly. Star Wars, in case you don't know what I'm referencing. Thank you, yeah. And the theme of this particular one is this whole thing of darkness and light. And if you've ever followed the Star Trek trilogy, what is a 6-movie, 8-movie? Where are we at now? 9, 10? As these lay out, we find that they are exploring this very passage that Paul is talking about. It's this struggle between darkness and light within each of us. And Paul is saying, you were once darkness. Remember back in chapter 2, he said, you were dead in sin. That's pretty dark. You were once dead to sin, but now you're alive. You need to leave behind the things that were of darkness. And Paul lays out 4 things that bring up the darkness. First is that we need to make no further sacrifices. In verse 2, he says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant sacrifice, a fragrant offering. Now, I believe Paul is referencing one of 2 things. He could be referencing both. Actually, he's writing to the church of Ephesus. And a few years ago, we studied the church of Ephesus in the sense of Revelation. And in it, we talked about how that in Ephesus, there was a temple there to Artemis. If you're not up on your ancient mythological gods, Artemis was the goddess of fertility. And they worshiped her. And they would burn these incense, and the smells would go into the whole city, and people would come, and they would enjoy these aromas. In fact, you can still to this day buy what they call Artemis oil. It's oils that are made supposedly from the recipe of the Temple of Artemis. And it will help you in areas of fertility. I believe also that he's referencing the fact that God called Christ to be a sacrifice to us. And in the Old Testament, and we unpacked a few months ago in the journey of the Israelites and how that God established this system with the Israelites. And in the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus, he lays out the system of sacrifice. And it describes that how God would wait and he would smell the aroma of the good and holy and righteous offerings. How many of us are still trying to make sacrifice? Paul's saying, Jesus made it. He's already done. You turn away from darkness by quit trying. That was your old way. That was the I'm going to make it way. But God sent Christ to already make the way. The second thing in verse 3 is he calls for sexual purity. Artemis was the goddess of fertility, and involved with that worship was all types of sexual sin. He's calling to the church of Ephesus, be different than those people that you do life with. People in town. Now, this wasn't just like a temple. Just as a reminder, this was one of what they called the 7 wonders of the ancient world. This was a major hub of worship for Artemis. People would come from across the Roman Empire to come and worship here. And Paul's calling the people of Ephesus, and he's calling us today to be different. Be different. They worship in certain ways. Don't worship the way that the world worships. We are called to be separated. Third, we resist the darkness by resisting the call for greed. in verse 3, he said that none of these things, no hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. Now, again, so he's writing to the church of Ephesus. In Ephesus, there was this temple, and the temple, because it was so popular, received all types of gifts. And it got to the point that it was so wealthy, it became its own bank. And nations and kings, because of the security and the reverence of this location, actually would come and bring their wealth to secure it here at the temple. Now, any time that you have a collection of wealth, there immediately becomes then those who surround it who go, how can I get it? And not in a good way. It creates greed and impure thoughts, this desire to steal. And there was numerous occasions where people try to take the wealth of the temple of Artemis. Now, I don't know about you, but we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And we celebrate Thanksgiving in this country. You know, it's not a universal around the world kind of thing. They don't celebrate it everywhere. Why do we celebrate it in America? We celebrate it because there was a time where this country was founded, and there was a time where a group of people almost died, but then the next year they didn't die, and they survived, and they thrived, and they gave thanks for doing so. Fast forward a few hundred years, and now we've gotten to the point that we've almost surpassed Thanksgiving just so we can go out and start buying stuff. I'm sorry, but some of the stores, they were running quote-unquote Black Friday specials on Thursday at 1 o'clock. I'm still eating my second piece of pie at 1 o'clock. What? We have forgotten. We have become a nation of people who have forgotten why we were giving thanks. If it was not for the benevolent love of God on those people who started this nation, we would not be here. And his benevolence is still needed today. Despite those who stand in places of power and authority who claim that they are the reason that there's prosperity, we who are in Christ know that all blessings come from him above. All prosperity, any advantage in life comes because of a loving, graceful, merciful God who gave it to us. So Paul's saying, resist darkness, don't be greedy. And how better to not be greedy than to be giving and to be loving and to be caring? Now, this fourth one is going to hurt a lot of us. Verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place in the body of Christ. You want me to just skip that verse? I do. Because I like to joke. And you know what this is saying here? You know what these words? This comes from a Greek word, eutraplia. It means easy to turn. Easy to turn. It's sometimes associated with those who are jesters or fools. It's the person who, when you say something that's totally innocent, and what do they do with it? They turn it, right? I'm not going to give you any examples because in your mind, you already can think of some. You are either related to somebody, work with somebody, or are somebody. If I say certain phrases or words, you're like, oh, you mean, psh. You're like, no. We turn it into something vulgar or dirty or obscene, and it becomes a joke. There are comedians and TV shows that the entire premise is based on this. And he's saying is turn away from that. Don't be like that. Don't give empty words. One of the reasons that he, I think, was talking about this was that in the ancient Greek and Roman times, it was considered a mark of intelligence that you could be like this. That you could turn a word, turn a phrase, twist it, and make it funny or make it mean something it doesn't mean. It was thought of as intelligence. Matter of fact, Socrates listed it as one of his virtues. But Paul, again, is saying, resist darkness. You were once like them. You were once Gentiles. You were once men and women who were at war with God, who were dead in sin, and now you're alive. Quit acting like your old ways. Quit being like you used to be. Do you resist the darkness? Paul is saying, don't be like you were. One of the things that's brilliant about Paul is that he doesn't just tell us, like, don't do things, right? I don't know if you ever tried that. It doesn't work. Just telling people to say no. Just say no. Okay. Just say no to drugs. Just say no to alcohol. Just say no to that extra piece of pie. Just say no to sugar. Just say no. Just say no. Just say no. What are you thinking of when you say just no? I remember as a kid, my mom would say, don't do this. Don't do that. And what was it in my mind that I automatically thought of? How much I respected my mother and loved her and cherished her wisdom, so I shall never go and doeth that nor this. No! Don't go into that room. Now, I knew where she kept her secret stash of M&Ms. She's not here today. I remember I knew I found out where she kept her M&Ms. And she would say, don't go into that cabinet, or it was in a particular cabinet. Don't go in that cabinet. You don't need to get in that cabinet. And I'm always like, why? You know, you kind of open it up. I'm like, eh, there's Tupperware in there. Like, what am I not supposed to get in? Then I realized she put her M&Ms in the back. We have just in our nature to pursue things, to say yes to things, to do things. So Paul in his wisdom's like, hey, don't do these things. Resist darkness. And then he says, but now, verse 8, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And then he has this brilliant thing of laying out four ways that we can live in the light. Because he knows we want to do something. He's like, if you're going to do something, right? Don't be kids who are spoiled brats. But, verse 1, be like loving children. Be like ones who mimic the good things in life. Resist the darkness. Don't do these things, but live as children of light and do these things. Verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This echoes Amos 5:14, which says it this way, seek good and not evil that you may live. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. But we pursue these, though, don't we? Why? In our family, we love bacon. Can I get an amen? It's one of God's greatest creations. Now, for some strange people in this world do not like bacon. But in our, when you fry bacon, and there's nothing more disappointing. Yesterday, my son came in, and he's like, I smell bacon. I go, I didn't make bacon. And it was like an immediate, like, just deflation. Why? When we smell it, do you get that hunger in it? and a desire of like, I am going to have bacon. How about movie popcorn? You ever been out to eat dinner, like you had a full dinner and then you're going to go to a movie and you walk in and you smell the popcorn? Sure, I'll waste another $20 to get some popcorn. Why? It's just the smell. It just makes you just want it. Well, Satan knows this in life. And he takes a lot of things and makes them seem appealing. That's what he did with Eve, right? She had one rule. Don't eat the fruit of this tree. He doesn't just come at her and give her a piece and go, here, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. What's he do? He's like, hey, look at that. Huh? Don't you think that would be nice? Smell it. Oh, yeah. And God designed our smells and our mouth to work together. You know, when you smell stuff, what happens to your mouth? You start watering, right? And your brain has this amazing thing that when it smells something, it triggers a part of your brain that it remembers what that tasted like. And if you've never tasted it, it makes up a taste for you. And it says, that will probably be good. And Satan has not changed his trick. So what is Paul writing? The first thing is, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but live and expose them, but rather expose it. Look, just deal with it. Have you ever smelt something? Now, when I was a kid, my mom made zucchini. Zucchini everything. She grew zucchini one summer. We had a garden full of zucchini. Have you ever grown zucchini? Like, it doesn't just grow like a zucchini. And I don't know why. I think she had 10 plants. I don't know, it was a lot. I just remember we had zucchini everything. Zucchini pancakes, zucchini bread, zucchini, just zucchini. Everything, zucchini, zucchini, zucchini. Every time we was like, oh, God, I'm tired, this is zucchini. One night we came in and she made, we thought, these little salmon patties. And we're eating them. And we're like, oh, we love salmon patties. This is good. Salmon patties. Like, they taste a little different tonight. But they're really good. It's good. You know, about the second plate in, she kind of leans back and goes, guess what's in them? And like, all of us in our family had that same recognition of what it was. And it was like this moment of zucchini. Tricked us. Now, my mom's trying to get us to eat zucchini. There's nothing wrong with eating zucchini. But Satan tries to do that, doesn't he? He wants us to package them. We want to get into the middle of it, and we're like, ah, that was that. How did I get here? I've time and time again talked with people who've dealt with addictions. And they've done all the things they're supposed to do. They've gone through treatment. They've changed their friends. They've changed their cities. And somehow, they found a new friend and a new drug source or a new favorite watering hole in the new city. And like, I don't know how that happened. I could go home 5 different ways. But if I go home this one particular way, it takes me by the strip club. If I don't go this way, I avoid the gambling boat. But I bet I could save some time and traffic if I went by the gambling boat. And the next thing you know, you're in the middle of it, and you're like, oh, how did I get here? How did this happen? Paul's saying, look, you need to expose things. Have your eyes open. Second, the light will reveal the truth. How do we know? How do we expose that which is sinful? How do we expose the thing that we're dealing with in our life so we're not just shocked and surprised? We reveal it with light. And the light is a truth. It is shameful, this is verse 12 and 13, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. I just want to pause and just make a cultural commentary right there if I could. That which we used to say was secret, that which we said was wrong, that which we used to say should be in the dark is now in the light and celebrated. And those of us who say, I don't want that, are looked upon as though we're weird. The things that are on television today, the things that are in movies today, the things that are in our radios today, I'm not that old, but when I was a kid, those things were not allowed. See, I don't want to preach a whole sermon on that, but it's shameful even to mention what was done in darkness. But now we don't even just mention it, we celebrate it. And people are offended if you don't. But he goes on to say this, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is echoing what Jesus said in Luke 8:17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Boy, I can think of a few people right now in Hollywood that probably should have read this verse. Maybe if Harvey Weinstein had known this, he may have changed his attitude over the last 30 years. That which is done in the dark will be revealed and brought out into the open. But let's not be so quick to point our fingers at others, because that means yours as well, doesn't it? This verse should send shivers down our spine. Paul is saying, quit living like you were still in darkness. You're in light. We see it. You should see it. Christ sees it. You know that God the Father sees it. Third, verse 15, you should live with wisdom. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And he gives three ways. Verse 16, by making the most of every day. Every opportunity, you should live in wisdom. How can I do that? Well, you know, this last weekend was a great way to show love to people. In the chaos and craziness of a Black Friday, if you actually are nice and courteous or give somebody a card or say thank you, watch people. They like look at you like, oh, thank you. Wow, thanks. Make the most of opportunities to share with people. We recently have been doing some home improvements. The person that we are spent a lot of time with picking out flooring, we have invited to come to church. I don't know if they're going to come or not, but it created an opportunity. Now, if we had been jerked, how would that have been? If we had been jerks while we're doing this whole thing, like, hey, this is too expensive. Oh, by the way, you should come to our church. I'm the pastor. We share the love of Christ. Paul's saying you make the most, live as wise people as you do life. Make the moment count. Verse 17, don't waste your time on earth. Understand God's will. I don't want to unpack all of that, but just know his will is available to you through prayer and through reading his scripture. You live with wisdom, verse 18. Do not consume to excess. It says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe Paul is telling us right here, it's not just about drinking wine. Somebody goes, oh, I'll get drunk on beer then. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't drink, Don't consume to excess. That could be food, that could be shopping, that could be a lot of things. Because when you do that, it leads to vice and darkness. That's what debauchery is. Debauchery is not a word we use very much. And matter of fact, if you look up debauchery online in the, I believe it's the Merriam Dictionary, or is it Webster? It's one of the two. It gives a history of that word, and debauchery, it used to be used a lot up until about the 1800s, and then it's like a direct curve down. It's not used very much in modern times. Now, they don't have any commentary on it. They're just reporting the use of the word. I think it has to do back with that verse about how that what used to be considered in the darkness and things that are immoral are now things that are brought into light and celebrated. It's no longer debauchery. That's normal. That's good. But instead of being one who falls into debauchery, instead we're supposed to be filled with Christ-like characteristics, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a filling that is complete and whole and holy. Live with wisdom. And if we do these things, the fourth and final thing is that we need to live a life of thanksgiving. Verse 19 and 20, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And always, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Resist the darkness. Embrace the light. Stop doing the things we used to do. Start doing the things that Christ would have you do. And if you don't know where to go or what to do, seek His word and His understanding. And He will give it to you. And if all else fails, just start living a life of thanksgiving. Because when we start giving thanks, we start to realize it's not about us. We start to have correct perspective. We have a change of heart. And what better way to celebrate this season than by being children of light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have called us out of darkness. God, I just pray that you would just help us to replace that which we used to desire with the things that you would have us desire, to live with wisdom and thanksgiving, to live in your truth, which acts as a light to expose our darkness, God, and may we avoid that darkness. God, help us not to be people who are stumbling around in the dark, but God, that we could walk and run in the light of your freedom. God, I pray for all of this in your Son's name.